Proverbs chapter 2 together. One of the things I didn't tell you that you'll be hearing all over this week is in 1991, the Lord brought me back to education and brought me back to coaching. The things I went in 1968 to New York University to do, the Lord brought me back through a young man at the Bible Chapel in Danville, Virginia. We moved from Florida to Virginia in 1986 to build a church building, to start their programs, and one of the kids in that school wanted to pole vault. In 1991, I went back to itinerant. I stopped in that church, and it's still going on its own right now. This young man came to me and he said, Mr. Brower, he said, I really would like to learn how to pole vault, but my coach said that he can't do it without somebody who knows how to do it. And you did it in college, so why don't you come? And I thought, no, I'm not going to do it. And he pestered me and he bothered me until one day I said, well, I'll go down and talk to your coach, but I can't promise you anything. I went to the school and I walked down to the football field, and there I met a coach. Coming at me was a very athletic young black male. And he said to me, hi, my name's Kenny Lewis, and I'm a Christian, and I've been praying that God would bring somebody along to help me, not only coach, but also with a Bible study. That was the end of it. This young man, Kenny Lewis, was All-American running back from Virginia Tech. He set many records. He played 5 years on the New York Jets. He was their leading kickoff returner during the time when Freeman McNeil was their big running back. He was their punt returner. And he gave it all up and went back to school, had a master's in education, and became a gym teacher because he knew everybody would have to go through gym classes and he wanted to give them all the gospel. And so I started coaching again, field events and boys track. We had the pleasure in 91 of winning a state championship track team in the state of Virginia. He left, and Betty and I stayed with it. We did it for a few more years, and then the Lord switched us from track to girls basketball. And for the last 6 years, we've been doing girls basketball. We've been to the States the last 4 years. We've been highly ranked, and we've had a really great basketball. We have great talent in our school. The reason I share that with you is because I'm going to be using illustrations of real kids that I've had the pleasure of experiencing lives with and faith with. And when you hear these stories, realize that's where it comes from. It comes from being in a public school and from having a Bible study and getting to meet every year 1,800 new kids and over 200 teachers. And so we have a wonderful ministry in that high school. Proverbs chapter 2. Didn't think we were going to get there, did you? We're going to perform a miracle. We're going to actually preach for 20 minutes on verses and get done. I know that sounds hard to do, but we're going to do it. One of the things we do in basketball is every now and then when things aren't going the way we find that they should be going, we go back to the fundamentals. Do you realize how important fundamentals are? Do you realize, take for instance basketball, how many times a point guard spends, how many hours a day dribbling with both hands, learning how to dribble, learning the fundamentals, where the eye should go, how to run an offense, what to look for on defense. The shooting guards, the shooting forwards, spending just hours shooting at a basket, shooting fundamentals, how to hold their hands, how to hold that ball, how to push through. Fundamentals. Fundamentals are the key. If your fundamentals aren't good, then you're never going to go anywhere. And I find that it's time for us as believers to go back to the fundamentals. That's what we're going to do this week. We're not going in any deep things. We're not going really into new and uncharted areas. We're going to go through common ground. Two things when you study the Bible you always need at any point. One is you need revelation. You need illumination. You need the Spirit of God to open your eyes to see new truth that you don't know anymore, that you don't know yet in the Bible. Paul prayed that in Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, that the eyes of your understanding might be open, that you might know the hope and the full calling that God has for you in the Lord Jesus. But some of us who've been saved for a while, we get very familiar with the Word of God. And so we know it. And so when I say turn to Proverbs 2, oh no, he's going to go there again. I can't believe it. I know that. Really. The second thing we need is this. Old truths to be revived. We need revived. We need that truth to be revived. I should say this, not the truth to be revived. We need to be quickened and made alive because the Word is quick and living. We need to pray, Lord, revive me to this truth. Make this truth fresh to me again. So we're going to plow common ground. And tonight what we're going to do is, and we're going to do probably a couple of times on this, the importance of the Word of God. We're going to look at the characteristics of the Word of God. We're going to find out and we're going to be able to examine our own hearts and see if we are ready to receive the Word of God. I get tired of people coming and saying, you know, you were better last year. It doesn't happen a lot. I just figured I'd say that because my wife is here, and if you talk to her, she'll tell you. But people will always come and say, you know that guy, he preached and I didn't get anything out of it. It amazes me that in a group like this, that at the end of a message, I can go to the back and somebody will come up with tears going, oh, that was just for me. It was so wonderful. God spoke to me. And hear somebody else say, man, that guy was terrible. I wonder why he even came. Now, I want you to know that in the Word of God, I have a responsibility, but I also want you to know that you have a responsibility too. So it might not be that the preacher this week isn't good. It might not be that you haven't prepared your heart. I feel better now. I got rid of that one. Now, in Proverbs chapter 2, what we want to do is we want to read the first six verses of Proverbs chapter 2. And we want to find out, why is it that some people, the Word seems to get there and really be fruitful, and yet with others, it just doesn't seem to make much impact? We want to find out, not because we want to help them, we want to help ourselves. This is for me tonight as well as you. This is for me to, because I've got to make sure that my heart is good soil, as James says. If Matthew, when Matthew's gospel, when those parables in chapter 13, and those four soils, only one was good soil, and when the Word hit it, it just issued and there was fruit. We want fruit from the Word. That's what we want. We want fruit from the Word. I want that in my life. I have to come prepared. Proverbs chapter 2 is how we're prepared. And it's a quick one. All of these little verses step like very wonderful stones, stepping stones, one on the other. That's just wind. We want that. We want to cool down tonight. Now watch, I'm going to read it. And by the way, this week I'm going to read from the King James. You might have another translation, but that's okay. When you get spiritual, you'll read from the one I'm reading from. They're laughing, Mel. I don't know why. You've heard it before. You haven't? Okay. Verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with ye, so that thou inclinest thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice to understanding, if you seekest her as silver and search after her as for hidden treasures, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Notice verse 5 says, then. In other words, if we're going to get to the 5 and 6, we've got to have verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's only logical. In other words, I've got to know what 1, 2, 3, 4 lead up to, and then when I can get to that point, then I will understand the fear of the Lord. Then I will know what it means to have understanding. Then I will know what it means to have a wise life and understand the wisdom of God. Now, before we get into those steps, and we will, I promise you, we will finish early enough so that we don't burn our hot dogs. We need to understand three key words that are found in the book of Proverbs that we need to understand. Number one is the word knowledge. A lot of Christians never get to where the Word has any effect because they think the end is knowledge. I've been involved with a group of believers, and we all have different churches we're involved with, but for years we boasted in how much we understood and who our fathers of the movement were in the 1800s. Men like Darby, men like Mueller, men who we throw their name around, Darby. Well, you know who Darby is because he dug out those eschatological truths about the second coming of Christ, and Scofield picked them up and he used them in the Scofield Bible. You look perplexed. Some of you don't know who they are. There you go. But what happens is this. We make the goal that we're striving for knowledge. It's not. That's the beginning. You see, the devil, we're going to learn this week, is the master at making the goal the means and the means the goal. Because he knows when you get it mixed up, you're in trouble. And so we have all these people thinking, well, if I can just get the facts and just get the facts. Knowledge in the book of Proverbs means to acquire the facts. This book, the Word of God, is perfect. There are seven P's we're going to learn this week about the Word of God. One is this, the Word of God is perfect. The way of the Lord, the Word of the Lord is right. It's truth. Don't be afraid as a Christian to have people come to you and say, don't be so dogmatic about it. In a Bible study in Hollywood, Florida, in 1982, I had some young college kids that were there. There was 50 of them. One of them came to me. It was in a house. And two or three of them came, as a matter of fact. They said, "We don't like the way you talk so sternly and so dogmatically. How can you do that?" And I said, "Because this is the Word of God. I don't blush or wink. When I tell people that this book is the Word of God, I know in the conviction of my heart, it's truth. Truth never changes. And I know that everything in that book is true. Even the lies that are recorded in that book. Not everything is true, but it's truly recorded. It's truth. There are lies recorded in that book, but they're truly recorded. And when somebody comes to you and says, "Oh, how do you know that's truth?" Truth never changes. That book has never changed, and it will never change until every jot, every tittle, every little detail is fulfilled. You can put it in your belt. Listen, young people, the thing that I have a pleasure looking at teenage kids in high school and telling them is this, that this word is truth. It's perfect. It'll never change. If you want something that's unmovable, something you can put your feet on that will never change, this book is it. 2 years ago, I've been involved with a project called the Timothy Project, and we take 20 volunteers who are given from different churches. They have to come highly recognized because it's free. And what we do is we take these kids in. It's a 3-year program. The first year we give them a Bible, a concordance, a lexicon, and for 5 days, one man sits with them 8 hours a day and just goes over how to use them and how to study the Bible, the makeup of the Bible, how to use the tools. The second year, I take those things and I teach them an actual book of the Bible. And then the third year, when they're third year and they're getting ready to leave it, they actually study another book and then spend another half of their time out helping either a church or in the city. And 2 years ago, I had 20 kids, and I went to take them into Dahlonega, Georgia, and I made up a questionnaire for them. And all they did was approach people and say, "Hi, I'm from Camp Living Water, and I'm from a Timothy Project, and I have 10 questions. Would you answer them for me?" Well, people aren't afraid of little kids and teenage kids. Surely they can talk with them. And it worked. And they sat down with a man who was like 50 in one day, and all the kids came back after an hour in that city. You know, one thing they said, "These people are inconsistent." The 10 questions. Do you believe in God? Do you believe it's God's word? Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in hell? Do you believe in judgment? Do you think you're accountable? Things like that. They say, "I believe in God." "Do you believe in heaven and hell?" "No." "Do you believe you're accountable?" "Yes." I mean, how? That's so illogical. But if you don't have an absolute to stand on, you're going to be illogical. That's why I like the Word of God. My hope is built on nothing less than Scripture, truth, and scope. No. Then my hope is built. This Word, this Bible is true. It is truth. Do you know what it says? The Bible says this, "Thy Word is forever settled in the heavens." Do you know that there's never been an argument in heaven over the Word of God? You say, "What about Satan?" No, no. He brings doubt about the Word of God, but he'll never argue God about if it's true or not. He knows it. And you need to start understanding it, and I do too, because that's what the basics is, and that's how we stand firm, and that's how we stand unblushed when we tell people, we must know this is the Word of God. We must grip it and realize it's the only thing that's going to give me stability in life. That's knowledge. Well, miracle's going to have to be better, isn't it? Now watch. The second word is understanding. Understanding is when God, the Holy Spirit, notice what I said. I just heard a man speak the whole time, a message on the Spirit of God saying, "It." It's He. He's God. He is God. God the Holy Spirit takes the truth of this verse and makes it real to me. It's called conviction. That's when you have what's called in the Bible as the spirit of understanding. Your eyes are open. Let me give you an example. You go to church on Sunday. You read your Bible in the morning on Monday. God gives you all these verses about it's impossible for God to lie. You realize that lying is a sin. You realize that God can't do it. It doesn't agree with His character. As a Christian, then we shouldn't want to tolerate it. It shouldn't be part of our character. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God opens your eyes. And guess what happens? That truth becomes real. And you realize that when you left work this morning, you left the house this morning, you lied to your wife. Let me make it simpler. I lied to my wife. And I'm riding to work. I have the spirit of understanding because that verse now is the Spirit of God has opened my eyes to the truth for me. Not you. I don't care about anyone else. God's saying this, "John, forget it. You've lied." That gives me the spirit of understanding. Now listen, that's not the end either. A lot of people get all excited. They hear a good preacher. They have a good sermon. They hear something and they get that emotional response and then all of a sudden they think, "Oh, this is wonderful." No, that's not the end of it either. And that's why some Christians keep going back into the same thing, into the same thing, into the same thing, and all those sins become besetting sins. The sin that does easily beset us. You know what besetting sins are, don't you? They're sins that get you when you besetting. They just get you. You can't help it, and you're back there again. You know why? Because you haven't got to the third word, which is wisdom. Wisdom is when the truth of the fact given, illuminated by the spirit of understanding, has been applied now, because you have exercised your will, your mind, one way or another to it. Yes or no? That's where I have to come in. I'm driving my car and I'm saying, thinking, hold on, let me give you an example. I don't have time. I'll do it another day. All of a sudden, I realize this. I've got to call my wife. Oh, Lord, if I do that, she'll kill me. You know, we think that way. Oh, Lord, if I do that, she might leave me. This is the last straw. Oh, Lord, what about my children think? And all of a sudden, I'm wrestling. Lord, I can't do this. You know what the Bible says? Of course you can't. At that moment, my mind, I know I can't do it, but I know He can. So I have to exercise my mind. Lord, I know that's right. I want You to do it through me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. And I pick up the phone and I call. And all of a sudden, guess what happens? My life has changed. The world is not looking for knowledge. The world isn't looking for us Christians to run around and be able to hit them over the head with a verse. And the world isn't looking for emotional Christians going, oh, I heard the greatest preacher, and boy, he just, woo, and I still have goosebumps. And the world is looking for a life that's changed. The world, that's testimony, brethren. The world is looking for a life that's changed and being changed. That's wisdom. The wisdom that's from above, James says, is first pure, and it's peaceable, full of good fruit. That has to do with the life, not the head. When I say no and I turn my back on that truth and I continue on in the lie, then my life can't change. You see, in the unchanged life, it's just stymied. Now watch. In Proverbs chapter 2, here's our responsibility. This, as a hearer of the Word of God, this week you have this responsibility. I have my own responsibility before the Lord. I have to seek the Lord's mind, the Lord's will, on the messages that He would have me share with you. You have to have the responsibility of Proverbs chapter 2. Here they are. Here are the stepping stones. Number 1, verse 1. Here's the beginning of the process. I'm just going to give them to you. I'm going to state them to you in the order that they come. And you can check and see, not if your husband or spouse or kids or parents, if you alone can check each one with a yes. If you can't, then you're not maximizing, or the Spirit of God cannot maximize His message through the Word to you. This is our responsibility. This is what Proverbs 2 is all about, right at the very beginning. Number 1, it says this: you have to receive it. That means to acknowledge and accept it for what it is. If you will receive, that is the same thought in John chapter 1 when it says in verse 12, but as many as receive Him. We tell people, just receive the Lord. What does that mean to them? Are we going to give them a little statuette? It means to acknowledge and to accept for who He is, for what He is. Don't tell me He was a good man. Don't tell me He was a good prophet and then say that He didn't claim to be God and didn't tell people that if they died in their sin, they couldn't come. You accept His work and His word. You can't separate it. It's all one. You have to, if you're going to maximize the Word of God and let the Spirit of God use it in your life, you have to come to it and realize this. Acknowledge it for what it is and accept it for what it is. It is the Word of God. My stepfather, 77 years in the Roman Catholic Church, went through a 4 bypass, prostate cancer, and lung problems all in the same month. God stripped him, like Job, down to nothing so that we could share the gospel with him. And you know what did it? Sitting on the patio of his house in Florida, 3 months of conviction. And John, why is it so difficult? John, why is it so hard? John, why is it? I said, I'll tell you why. Look at John 3:16. Read it. And he read John 3:16. I said, Dad, do you understand what it says? Yeah, I understand what John's trying to write to me. No, no, no. Who wrote that? Well, John did. Dad, no. When I was in Vietnam and I wrote you letters, did you just say, oh, Mom, another letter from John, throw it up on the bookshelf and say, well, when we get around to it, we'll read it? He said, no, I wanted to read right away because you wrote it to me. I said, now, who wrote this to you? He looked at me, went, like a light went on. He said, God did.
brethren, this is God's word to you. Accept it for that and believe it. When I opened my Bible, you know, I fell into sin 12 years ago, even ministering the Word of God. I took a nosedive in, you know, those three detestable brothers that always appear. Doubt, fear, and discouragement. They're terrible. And I just took a nosedive. Because I used to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to speak at this church on Sunday. Give me something for them. Lord, I'm going here this Wednesday. Give me something for them. It was never, Lord, speak to me. You know, we got to get back to the bed. I know this is basics, and you're probably thinking, why did I come here this week? This is so basic, I know this. But listen, you have to receive it for what it is. You have to acknowledge it for what is it. What is it? It is the Word of God. Number two, the next thing in verse 1 is you have to hide it. It means to store in mind. It's the same thing when he goes on in Proverbs 4, verse 4. It says, He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words. I'm not one for sitting down and memorizing. I can't do it. What I do is I read it, I speak it, I write it. If I can get all my senses in one, so you'll see me carrying books around with all these things in it, that's how I do it. I'll read it, I'll write it, I'll speak it, I'll read it, I'll write it, and then it just seems to come back, but it gets in there. The man that led me to the Lord, he died about 2.5 years ago of cancer. But in the 70s, when he was my boss, he had to retire. He had 5 heart attacks in one day. They had to paddle him. He lived till 2 years ago. He got paddled more than I did when I was a kid. And his had juice to it. But I'll tell you this, he was such a man of God that when every time they revive him, he'd quote a verse. His doctor was Jewish. And he'd quote a verse. He'd sing a hymn. The doctor said, Do you know that every time I revive you, you quote a verse and you sing a hymn? It's driving me crazy. That's what Spurgeon said, that every Christian should be so bib-lean that when they cut themselves, they bleed Bible verses. We need to get there. We need to understand that this is the Word of God. Listen, it's more important than my hunting magazines. I'm saying me because I like to hunt. It's more important than fishing. It's more important than coaching. It's more important than my soap operas. Let's meddle on some things. It's more important than all the other things. The most important thing is the Word of God. And we need to be people who receive it for what it is and hide it. And then listen to this, verse 2. Incline it. Incline your ear. The idea is this, that right now some of you are sitting there going, I do it because I'm almost 70%, 60% deaf in this ear from Vietnam, I guess, or no, it can be my wife because she sits on this side. Oh, forgive me for that one. I'm going to have the women after me for that one. I'm still 20% on this, so that had some impact. To incline your ear is just like this. When my son was, when he was little and we would walk somewhere, I would always have to do this to him. Son, 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 look at me now. Son, look, okay, you hear me? I want you. What am I doing? I'm inclining his ear. It means you turn your ear to it. In other words, you know there's something that's going to be said. It also means this, to hear with the intent of obeying. Why do I say to my son, listen to me? He heard me, but he's not going to obey me, so I want to tell him again, listen to me. Well, that's what he's saying. He's saying, receive it, to hide it, to incline your ear. That means to obey it. Then in verse 2 he says, apply it to your heart. Look for the Holy Spirit's application to my heart. Let's stop saying, well, boy, I wish my wife was here this weekend. Oh, I need a tape because my neighbor needs to hear this. I need to hear it and you need to hear it. We all need to hear it. It's the Word of God. I need to hear it. It's personal. If the Word isn't personal, what good is it? True? It's a letter. It's a love letter. God wants to speak to our hearts. And then he says this. The fifth thing in verse 3 is cry after it. And now the stress is on an increased intensity. You're crying for it. It's the kids in the back of the car after 4 hours of driving coming to camp going, are we ever going to stop and eat lunch? Yeah. Where are we going to go? McDonald's, please, Dad. I can't go. It's my wife going, I need to stop, honey. I need to stop. And when I hear that, I know I'm going to stop. I really know when she says, John, when my first name comes out, I'm done. I pull over. I'm going to obey. It's the whole idea that, listen, there's a crying. When was the last time you cried for the Word of God? Oh no, we got to go to church again. Can you believe it? Are we going to do another church thing? Why? Listen, 1 Peter, my mind goes bad sometimes. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, chapter 2, as a newborn babe cries for the milk from its mother, so we should cry. You know what we do, new believers? Man, God's my Father. I want to be taught. Calm down, son. I had a man tell me that once. Calm down. No sense. You're getting all excited. Of course. You know, when a baby's born, what's the first thing it's doing? Mama, I'm hungry. It's crying. That's the way we should be. And I know that's why you're here. It's a shame that you get flogged and the people that should be here aren't, you know, but that's just the way it is. I mean, listen, we need to be crying after the Word of God. We need to be, and you know what that means? That means whenever I can get it during the day, I get it. That means wherever I can get it, I'm there. It means I find reasons for it. I prioritize my life. Something's got to go. How many of us just don't eat anymore because it's not important? You know, it takes up too much time. You know, I could be playing Nintendo right now, Dad, instead of eating. You ever hear that? Maybe when you have that tofu casserole, the kids will say that. But when you have, you know, something decent here, you're not going to hear that. We're not having tofu casserole this week, are we? You know, I was at a camp last summer, and they found out that I love porridge. I love oatmeal. I love to do camp because you always get oatmeal, and the kids don't like it. And I get a big bowl. Do you know that for 7 days, 3 times a day, they just handed me a bowl of oatmeal? And the kids ate hamburgers, and I ate it like a good soldier and endured it. Anyway, and then it says this. Now this stress moves from crying after it to verse 4, seeking it as silver. Now the pleading turns to searching. Look at chapter 3 of Proverbs. Happy is the man, verse 13, that finds wisdom, the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise is of it is better than silver, and the gain thereof is fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you can desire are not to be compared to her. You know what Job 28 says? Job says this, look at what the extent that we'll go through to get a little diamond out of the ground. We'll turn the different rivers into holes in the ground and flood them out. We'll put ropes around our bodies and drop ourselves miles down into a cavern. We'll do crazy things. Go on the mining tour here and learn those stories about the young boy, his first day, died, falling down the ladder. First day, what? To get some ore out of the ground. And yet we won't take the time to seek after the truth of the Word of God? Listen, one of the things you're going to hear this week is this. Our country is going down the tubes because of that. We have an abundance of the Word of God, but yet nobody's seeking after it. We're tolerating it. It's going out. Most of it's watered down or not even accurate. And it's going out, and it's going out. And we have people who are so indifferent to it because it's all around that they don't even desire to even seek it anymore. It's not important to them anymore. We'd rather be out doing whatever instead of seeking the Word of God. You cannot spend a week better than you're going to do this week here at this Bible camp. And it's not because of me or anyone else that's going to speak. It's because the Word of God's going to be here. Now, I know that's hard, and my kids didn't like it when we'd go on vacation, and we ended up for 2 weeks in a church where I could preach every night. Is this vacation? But the Word of God is that important. I would rather be nowhere else tonight than here, even if I wasn't speaking. We've got to realize that and seek it as silver. And then in verse 4, it goes one step further, and it says this, and search. And there it moves from the desire to the longing. To the word search means this, a lifelong profession. We just start to realize that there's nothing else in this world that matters. Now, I know marriage matters, and I know being a parent matters, and I know being a good child matters, and I know being a good student matters. But listen, when you seek after the Word of God like we just went through, and those steps take place, you'll be a good parent. You will be a godly man. You will be a godly woman. I tell you, these are the steps that God says. And listen, He says, when you get to the last one where it's a lifelong consuming desire to have the Word, then you'll understand wisdom. Then you'll know the fear of the Lord. Then you're going to... Listen, you can't get started until you're there. Let's pray together this week. Let's pray together that God would restore unto us a hunger for the Word of God. That when we leave here, if there's one thing we leave with, it's Lord, I want to taste and see that the Lord is good again. Lord, I want a hunger for the Word of God. I want a desire for the Word of God. Because listen to what He promised. When we do, He will let us know what the wisdom of God is. He will give us understanding. And that brings back the joy. He promises if we seek, we'll find. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things are added. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Let's pray that that happens. I'm going to pray that. I want to go away from here even loving and hungry. I just left a camp in Vancouver. I saw that it was a high school. It was a junior high camp. It was 13 to 15, 104 kids. I have never seen the Lord work that way. We had pink mohawked girls. We had more bodies pierced than battles in Vietnam. I mean, it was incredible. And the kids came there and they hated the first 3 days. They hated what they heard. They hated the speaker. They hated their counselors. And all of a sudden, God just broke it wide open. Incredible the things that took place. As they realized it wasn't that which they hated, it was the Word of God they hated, but they realized this, it was God's Word. And what a difference. 17 accepted the Lord. 35 got restored to the Lord. I can't tell you how many of them stood up and said, I want to know Him better. I pray that this week we will walk away from here with just one thing happening, and it's this, Lord, I'm crying out for You. I want to hunger. I want to thirst. I want to value Your Word. I want to hear Your voice. I don't want to harden my heart as Israel did in the day of provocation. You know, the saddest thing that's ever written about Israel, it says this, that the Word of God was precious in Israel. The word precious means scarce. And that's sad when the people of God are lacking the Word of God. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we bow in Your presence and we thank You for who You are. Your light, Your life, Your righteousness, Your truth. We hear of the Lord Jesus that He is truth and in Him is no darkness at all. He is light. And our Father, we would seek Your truth. Even the psalmist said it was good for me to have been afflicted. Because I was afflicted, I went astray. We're thankful, our Father, that Your Word is forever settled in the heavens. We pray that Your Spirit would settle it in our hearts. Father, that You would speak to us individually, that we would hear the message that You have for us, and that we would rejoice, that we would go away hearing Your voice and enjoying Your presence. We would say as a servant of old, speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth Thee. And so, our Father, we look with anticipation for what we will hear from Your Word this week and how we will be encouraged from hearing about Your work in this world, Your missionary view and Your missionary outreach. And, Father, how we will be encouraged as we fellowship together, as we hear one to another how good the Lord has been, that we might walk away from this place realizing afresh that the Lord was here, as Jacob did when he put that stone and said, El Bethel, the God of the house of God. Oh, that You would just touch our hearts, that You would just challenge our lives, and You would bring forth anything that would hinder Your Word. Any sin, any rebellion, any worldliness, any indifference, Father, just bring it to the front and help us to deal with it by Your Spirit. We thank You and we praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.